If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 12. And I'll also read verses 35 to 41 as we continue in our series, Sign Language, John chapter 9, starting at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Then verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just open our eyes today to absolutely everything, Lord, that you want us to see. And especially, Lord, in these last days, I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. I'll never forget the first time I ever really remember eating a banana. I was only about 5 years old, and my mom was driving me and my two brothers to Melford, Illinois, to get a haircut. And south of Watsika on Route 1, you got to drive under a viaduct to go into Melford, so it gets dark on you for a second. And my mom brought a banana, and she gave each one of us a third of it. And, of course, I started eating mine right away. But the very nanosecond I bit into that banana, my mom drove under that viaduct, and just like that, everything went black. And I started screaming to my brothers, "Don't eat it, don't eat it," because I took a bite of my banana and I went stone blind. No, I wasn't blind. I just thought I was. But you know what's even worse than that? The worst thing of all, really being blind and thinking that you're not. Folks, every single one of us, every single one of us is really blind. And we need Jesus to touch us so that we can really see. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Sign Language. Look at the seven signs or miracles that Jesus does in the Gospel of John. Last week, Jesus walked through a storm on the Sea of Galilee so Jesus could walk us through all the storms of life too. And today, Jesus opens the eyes of a man born blind so Jesus can open up our blind eyes too. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 12. In this part of John chapter 9, Jesus opens the eyes of a man born blind. And in our text today, he not only heals those eyes physically, he also heals those eyes spiritually. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to have Jesus touch us and open our eyes so that we can see everything in every way too. Our text this morning, John chapter 9, verses 1 to 12, tells us three things that Jesus needs to open our eyes to so that we can be healed and see everything we really need to see. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing Jesus needs to open our eyes to in order to be healed is our own blindness. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 1 through 5. Because my eyes are so blind, the last time I went to the Secretary of State's office to get a vision test for a driver's license, the gal said, "Stick your face up against the machine and read the third line." And I'm going, "What machine?" So I got me some super duper Captain Marvel decoder progressive trifocal glasses that with X-ray vision so I can see through walls. because my eyes are so bad I can't even hear without my glasses on. Revelation chapter 3 verse 17, do you not know that you are poor and wretched and pitiful and blind and naked? Blind as a bat. You'll never be able to see until you first of all admit that you're blind. Now the man in this text today is blind. At this point in John chapter 9, Jesus and the disciples are in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And right outside the temple, they meet a man who had been blind from birth. And people, can you imagine? Total darkness, 24/7, 365, from the moment that he was born. No concept of people or colors or mountains or flowers. Never once saw his own mother's face. He didn't even have a concept of what it meant to see at all. And his entire life was begging and bumming off of other people. So you're already feeling like the scum of the earth. And then verse 2, one of the disciples asked Jesus, now who sinned to cause this man to be blind? Was it him or was it his parents? And how do you think it made that guy feel? Because even though he was blind, he could still hear. Talking about him like he wasn't even there. This thing here. Was he bad or was his parents bad? The idea. Back then in Jesus' day, something bad happened to you. That's because you did something bad or your parents did something bad. Like karma that too many people believe in today. What goes around comes around. If you do good things will happen to you. If you do bad things will happen to you. Amen. I know people who call themselves Christians who believe that. 1988, my Aunt Phyllis Lauterbach had a massive stroke. ICU, Carl Clinic in Champaign, couldn't speak, couldn't even move. And a woman from my home church drove all the way to Champaign, walked in my aunt's hospital room, and whispered in her ear, this is what happens to people who don't go to church. The Dr. Kevorkian School of Bedside Manner. Because they'll know we are Christians by our love. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You're thinking that. Something bad happened to you. It's because you did something bad. You were bad. You had a baby with Down syndrome. Kevin, what did I do wrong? You're on the autism spectrum with epileptic seizures. Kevin, God must hate me. You hooked up with all kinds of guys when you were in school. And now that you're married, you can't get pregnant to save your soul. Kevin, God must be punishing me for my sins. No, God punished your sin when he put it on Jesus at the cross. Your entire life you've eaten tofu and tree bark and you still get cancer. Kevin, why? Why did my little baby boy die? Why did my wife leave me? Why did my kids walk away from the Lord? Every single morning when I get up, why is there chronic pain so bad? I like to cry. Why? 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 You're thinking, bad person, bad things. Years ago, me and Sue watched a Christian mom dying in a hospital of uterine cancer. And with her last dying breath, she was still apologizing to her parents for getting pregnant back when she was 17 years old in high school. Because she never believed that Jesus had forgiven her of that sin. And she still believed it was that sin that gave her the cancer. Do you see how the devil blinds people? There's people listening to this sermon right now. You've got to stop the blame game. You've got to stop blaming yourself and you've got to stop blaming God because you're not seeing it right. Amen. Your vision is impaired. You'll never be able to see until you first of all admit that you're blind. Because notice verse 3, Jesus blows all this right out of the water. He says that neither that man or his parents sinned. So the issue is not sin. The issue is suffering. And not all suffering is the result of direct sin. Now, all suffering and sickness and blindness ultimately is the result of the sin of mankind, turning this planet into a fallen world where bad things happen to people. But not all suffering is the result of any one particular sin. Last April the 5th, little 5-year-old Mario Pacheco, killed by a tornado in Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, who sinned there, him or his parents? I was born with a medical condition called gynecomastia, which means I have zero normal sperm, which is half the reason Sue and I never have children. Who sinned there? Was it me or my parents? Now, this blind man in this text, he was a sinner. But his blindness was not caused by any particular sin in his life, because Jesus says that here. Folks, if sin caused children to be blind, we'd all be blacked out. Some of you especially, because I know your mama. Bad things happen to people because they live in a fallen world. Some bad things happen to people because of demonic attack. Some bad things happen to people because other people do horrible things to them and they're victims. Last February the 8th, Midland, Texas. 10-year-old Alec Wise hit and killed by a drunk driver, an illegal from Mexico who'd already been deported from this country 5 different times. Actress Demi Moore, when she was only 15 years old, her cokehead mom let another man rape her for $500 for drug money. Some people aren't bad. They're just broken. If you're listening to this word right now, you got to stop asking who. You got to stop asking what. You got to stop asking why, because there's no answer and it'll drive you crazy. You want to be healed. You really want Jesus Christ to open your eyes. The only question you better be asking is how. Amen. How does God want to use what happened to me for His glory? Amen. It's what Ronnie Millsap asked. Singer Ronnie Millsap was born stone blind and dirt poor in Graham County, North Carolina. And because he was blind, he was abandoned by his parents and most of the people in his family. Because they considered he was blind, that meant he was cursed by the devil. He had done something bad. And people in his home church would pray over him over and over and over again to be healed. And the fact that he wasn't healed proved that it was Ronnie Millsap's fault. Ronnie Millsap was the blame. It was his fault that he was blind. How would you like to grow up hearing that about yourself? So he was eventually raised by his grandparents. And his grandparents took Ronnie Millsap to every church, every preacher, every revival tent meeting there was, trying to get that kid healed. Till one night, Ronnie Millsap was 11 years old, an evangelist told his grandparents, that kid ain't supposed to be healed. That boy is supposed to be blind, that the works of God might be manifest in him. Quoting John chapter 3, verse 9. Ronnie Millsap was supposed to be blind so God could glorify himself in that blindness in his life. He said, well, Kevin, did Ronnie Millsap glorify God in spite of the fact that he was blind? You tell me.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I am worn.
That man had 40 number one songs in country and pop music and 6 Grammy Awards. A blind man who can see is better than a seeing man who's really blind. You want to see some really blind people? Right now, President Donald Trump is doing everything he possibly can to get this country back to the biblical principles that it was founded on and to get America working like God and our founding fathers originally intended it to. And because of that, right now, he's doing all kinds of things with freedom of speech and immigration and deregulation and diversity and gender and government employees, all kinds of things, all kinds of things that most Americans have wanted done and this nation has needed done for decades. We just never had a president that had enough guts to do it before. But last week, of course, all kinds of people aren't happy about it. And last week, millions of leftists all over America started pushing back with what they called the hands-off rallies. Hands off my democracy. Hands off my Social Security and Medicare. Hands off my abortion rights. Hands off my LGBTQ rights. Blah, blah, blah. And folks, it's an absolute joke because it's all based on lies. Donald Trump is not trying to take away Social Security and Medicare. He's just trying to cut the waste and the fraud. 127,000 Americans over the age of 160 who are still getting Social Security checks? Who shouldn't be happy about that being eliminated? Hands off my abortion rights, hands off my LGBTQ rights. First of all, there is no right in the Constitution to murder a baby or to be a queer. And is Donald Trump outlawing abortion all over America? No. Is Donald Trump rounding up LGBTQ people all over America and putting them in concentration camps? No. I got a better idea for hands off. How about hands off our homeschoolers? Hands off our parental rights? How about hands off our safe and secure borders? How about hands off our religious freedom as Christians? How about hands off the unborn? And what's even sadder about the hands off rallies, most of the people there seem to be totally lost. Here's what one girl said at a rally in New York City.
These people are cheering. They're talking like it's just the 60s. It's just like the 60s, and they're having conversations and walking slowly. There's no fight here. There's no youth here. It's all 30-somethings and their children.
The vast majority of the protesters are the 70-year-old I hate America flower children left over from the 1960s. There's an old couple protesting Elon Musk.
And these Elon Musk haters were left speechless after being asked to explain why the billionaire is a Nazi.
This is Elon Musk. It's supposed to be Elon, right? What makes him a Nazi?
They don't have a clue who Elon Musk really is or what he's doing that's supposedly even making him mad to start with. Talk about the blind leading the blind. There's a 15-year-old boy at a rally in Boston.
15.
Yeah, I just turned 15.
And are you feel like you're politically engaged?
Not much, but more than I want to be.
That's what lost and blind looks like. There's a guy holding up a sign that says Trump is a fascist.
So what makes Trump a fascist? What makes Trump a fascist?
He does things without
Yeah, talk loud. I don't have my mic on.
I'm not really good at...
That guy doesn't even know why he's really there. And you know what? That guy doesn't even know why he's really here either. The biggest problem with those hands-off rallies is not political, it's spiritual. They don't have their politics right because they're not thinking right. And they're not thinking right because they're lost and they're blind and they don't have Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, Jesus said, "If the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" That light of Jesus Christ is what gives your life meaning and purpose. You don't have that. You will go out and try to find something else that will give your life meaning and purpose. Something that you think is going to save the world instead of following Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who really does save the world. But Christians, let me ask you this morning. Are we seeing those protesters at the handoff rallies like Jesus sees them? Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You see all the Christians who showed up at those hands-off rallies all over America last weekend, Christians who showed up to pray and to preach the gospel and to share the gospel, the Leonard Shoberlin kind of Christians who realize that the vast majority of people who go to communist rallies like that are as lost as dirt in a snowstorm, and they're going to go to hell if they don't see the light. Because Christians, if all we do when we look at those protesters is just write them off as hopeless leftists and wokies and snowflakes and consign them to hell, we are just as blind as they are, and we need to have Jesus open our eyes just as much as they do. Amen. The first thing Jesus needs to open our eyes to so that we can be healed is the fact that we're really blind. We go on in this text, we see a second thing that Jesus needs to open our eyes to so that we can be healed. Jesus not only opened our eyes to our own blindness, Jesus also needs to open our eyes to our own healing. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 6 through 12. Because notice how Jesus relates to this man. Now right here at the end of John chapter 8, the Pharisees were going to stone Jesus to death. They already had the rocks in their hands. So at the beginning of verse chapter 9, Jesus is literally running for his life. But notice, even though he is literally running for his life, he sees this blind man, he stops. And why? Because that man mattered to Jesus. All people mattered to Jesus. Last December the 22nd, an illegal from Venezuela set a woman on fire and burned her alive on the F train in Brooklyn, New York, while dozens of other people stood around and did nothing except recording it on their phone. But notice Jesus here. Jesus didn't take this guy's picture and throw him a couple of quarters and say, "God bless you, brother. I'll be praying for you," as he ran on by. He stops. Jesus notices the people that nobody else notices. You say, "Well, Kevin, I'm fat, ugly, and stupid. Nobody sees me." Jesus does. "Kevin, I'm so depressed, I'm cutting myself. And I'm even thinking about killing myself. Nobody cares about me." Jesus does. "Kevin, I don't matter." You matter to him. "But Kevin, I don't see Jesus. I don't see Jesus anywhere in my life." Of course you don't, because you are spiritually blind and you've got to have your eyes opened. You may not see Jesus, but I guarantee you Jesus definitely sees you. Notice, what does Jesus do to this man? Now, Jesus could have just spoken a word from 100 yards away and healed him. But notice, Jesus comes up and he touches him. And not because Jesus needed to do that, but because that man needed Jesus to do that. Because nobody ever touched that man. They treated him like a leper. Like you're going to give him cooties. And verse 6 says that Jesus spit. So that blind man hears this. And notice he doesn't say, whoa, 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 you're going to spit on me. We're going to rock and roll. No. You know why he didn't say that? That man was so desperate to be healed, he didn't care how it happened. And back then, people believed that the saliva from famous people had healing power. Jesus was just trying to build up some faith in that guy. Now, I spit too, especially when I preach. Some Sunday mornings up here, it's like the splash zone at SeaWorld. But my spit doesn't heal anybody. But notice Jesus doesn't just spit, he mixes it with dirt. He mixes it with the dust of the ground, like God used the dust of the ground to create man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So the one who does miraculous things with dirt and the dust of the ground is God. So Jesus is saying here, that would be me. And here's mud in your eye, because Jesus takes those little mud pies and he puts them right on that man's eyes. Notice, Jesus putting his finger on exactly that thing in that man's life. That was keeping him from seeing. Just exactly what Jesus did with them. Vice President J.D. Vance grew up dirt poor in the Rust Belt in Middleton, Ohio. His mother's name was Bev and she was a nurse. But J.D. Vance's biological father abandoned that family when J.D. was just 2 years old. So mom Bev hit the bottle and started stealing Vicodin from work to get high. And there was one loser boyfriend after the other in and out of their house like a revolving door that abused J.D. Vance and his sister like you would not believe, every which way but loose. And then his mother, Beverly, lost her job. She got fired for stealing Vicodin from the doctor's office. So then she turned to heroin. And J.D. Vance's mom would get so wasted, she would put J.D. Vance and his sister in the car and drive that car 130, 40 miles an hour and then say that she was going to turn the wheel and kill them all. You talk about growing up in hell. So J.D. Vance was eventually raised by his grandparents. They weren't a whole lot better. But praise God, from whom all blessings flow, he finally escaped all that by going to the United States Marine Corps. And in the U.S. Marine Corps, he found Jesus Christ, prayed to receive Christ and got saved. And then his mother, Beverly Akins, 2015, she found Jesus Christ. She prayed to receive Christ and got saved too. And now she's working as a nurse at an addictions clinic in Cincinnati, Ohio. Last week, during a private ceremony at the White House, J.D. Vance honored his mother on her 10th anniversary of sobriety. 10 years of sobriety. This is what J.D. Vance said about his mom at the Republican National Convention.
Our movement is about single moms like mine who struggled with money and addiction but never gave up. And I'm proud to say that tonight my mom is here, 10 years clean and sober. I love you, Mom.
See what Jesus can do? See how Jesus can heal? There's somebody listening to this sermon right now. Your life and your family is an absolute mess, just like J.D. Vance's was. The drinking, the drugging, all the abuse, and the devil telling you every single day it can't ever get better. It can't ever change. But listen to me, it can because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God, which means there is absolutely nothing that he can't do to open your eyes and touch you and heal you and set you free. J.D. Vance's life went from the gates of hell to being vice president of the United States. So people, listen to me today. You turn to Jesus Christ, let him touch you and open your eyes so you can see him for who he really is, and you get him into your heart. Jesus can use your story for his glory, just exactly like he did with them. Jesus heals. But notice, for Jesus to heal, we've got to do what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus puts the mud pies on the man's eyes, verse 7, and tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Pool of Siloam, ceremonial worship, about a quarter of a mile away from the temple. And notice, the guy does it. He's got enough faith to do it. Still blind, still with the mud pies on his eyes, so it's even harder for him to see. But he does it, feeling his way. Walking by faith and not by sight, till he finally gets to the pool and washes. And what do you know? He's got his eyesight. Let me ask you, could he see before or after he washed? After. And why does that order matter? Because the Holy Spirit is telling us right here, this is the Christian life. You get touched, then we walk by faith and not by sight. And in the end, we get our eyesight and we get to see Jesus.
Amen.
And how many people who were born blind anywhere in the world, throughout the history of the whole wide world, up to this point in John chapter 9, ever got healed who were born blind? Zero. All the way through the Old Testament, all the way up to this point in the New Testament, no prophet, no priest, no king, no apostle, nobody, and I mean nobody, had ever healed somebody who was born blind. Only Jesus did that. That was Jesus' miracle. Only Jesus did that because only the Messiah could do that. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus heals. But how many of y'all realize Jesus has more than one way of healing somebody? Singer Ray Charles was totally blind by the time he was 7 years old from juvenile glaucoma. But to train him for rough times and what he had to do in life, his mother Retha went all tough love on him. So all the while Ray Charles was growing up, his mother would say this to him, "You're blind, you ain't dumb. You lost your sight, not your mind." She treated that kid like he wasn't blind at all. And because of that, she got him doing all kinds of things. Ray Charles even rode a bicycle when he was growing up. How many of y'all realize there's more than one way to heal? You read these Gospels, you see Jesus using all different kinds of things to heal all different kinds of people in all different kinds of ways. But notice, every single one of those healings was exactly what Jesus wanted it to be. Burger King says, "Have it your way." Christ the King says, "You do it my way." Jesus doesn't always heal you like you want to be healed. Jesus heals you like He wants you to be healed. My wife and I got married fully expecting that we were going to have kids one day. We even had names picked out for them. Prayed and it never happened. Then we found out there were some medical issues that was going to make it even harder. We figured Jesus can do miracles. We'll just keep praying. We pray that Jesus overcome. No, Jesus said, you are not going to have biological children. You're going to have spiritual children. Like there and there and there. Jesus doesn't heal your condition. He will heal your way you see it. He will heal the way you think about it. He will heal the way you feel about it. Amen. How many of y'all realize there's more than one way to heal?
Amen.
And there's some people sitting in this church right now. You've been praying for healing. Jesus has already healed you. You just don't like the form that it's taken. Listen to me. You got to stop whining and griping and belly aching and receive it.
Amen.
Or Jesus will never be glorified in your life either. There's other people listening to this sermon right now. I don't care how you've been diagnosed. I don't care what they're giving your pills for. ADD, ADHD, HDTV, NAACP. I don't care what it is. Jesus Christ can overcome all of that. Thomas Edison, when he was in the second grade, his teachers told his parents he was mentally retarded. The guy died with 1,093 patents and inventions to his name. Tim Tebow to this day still struggles with dyslexia. Elon Musk has autism and Asperger's syndrome. The guy's worth $400 billion. People, there isn't anything that Jesus Christ can overcome. So listen to me. I don't care what they've said about you. I don't care what they've called you. I don't care what they've labeled you. I don't care how they've diagnosed you. You turn your life over to Jesus Christ, He can overcome all of that.
Amen.
And set you free. You see the spiritual battle? Do you see the spiritual battle that's going on right now in your life? For the healing of your body and your mind and your thoughts. See the spiritual battle, your eyes open to it, to the spiritual battle that's going on for the healing of this country. White House spokesman Caroline Leavitt said this, "There are constant attacks against Donald Trump by evil forces, constant spiritual warfare that's going on with the Trump administration." And folks, that spiritual battle was there long before the election ever came along. When Hillary Clinton was in the White House, she was doing seances, channeling the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt. You talk about demonic presence. Remember when Donald Trump got elected to his first term, 2017? For the longest time, Melania Trump did not want to move into the White House. She wanted to stay in New York City with Barron Trump. You know why she didn't want to go to the White House? Because she told everybody the place was demon possessed. Joe Biden got in the White House in 2021, and one of his aides, Susan Rice, started doing smudging ceremonies. They're called burning sage in every room in the White House to supposedly get rid of all the Trump energy there. And what happened after that? Trans flags hanging from the White House portico, renaming Easter Sunday National Transgender Day of Visibility. UFOs over the Biden White House in February of 2024. You talk about a spiritual battle. That spiritual battle of spiritual warfare was there during the campaign. The American flag over the main stage in Butler, Pennsylvania, where Donald Trump almost got assassinated, twisted into the shape of an angel. 4 days later, at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the backdrop for the stage where President Trump was supposed to give his speech had the occult symbol, the all-knowing eye of Horus, and the pyramid from the back of the dollar bill with the Latin words Novus Ordo Seclorum, that literally means New World Order, put there by the deep state that is still a part of the Republican Party. Right before Election Day, November the 5th, hundreds of thousands of witches all over the world set on witch talk. They tried everything they could to put a curse on Donald Trump so he would lose to Kamala Harris. But for some reason, the curses didn't work. They said it was like a shield around Donald Trump. You see the spiritual battle that's going on, the spiritual warfare? We saw the spiritual warfare during the inauguration ceremony that was held indoors inside the Capitol building, not just because it was cold, but because of all the death threats against Donald Trump. The sound system going out and Carrie Underwood was trying to sing America the Beautiful. Donald Trump not getting his hand placed on the Bible during the oath of office because his wife Melania Trump was holding the Bibles. And again, Chief Justice John Roberts started the ceremony before Melania could get to him on stage.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
You say, well, Kevin, Joe Biden put his hand on the Bible. Yeah. I'd rather have a president who does what's in the Bible and means it than a poser who puts his hand on the Bible and doesn't mean it. Do we see the spiritual battle that's going on? And the spiritual warfare continues. Donald Trump campaigned saying that he would end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. But now Vladimir Putin refuses to negotiate. Spiritual warfare, because last January, Donald Trump was already announcing the promotion of Bitcoin and digital currency that the Antichrist is going to use to run the mark of the beast system. And then the formation of Stargate that will use AI to develop mRNA vaccines. And why is this happening? Because Donald Trump also became the first president in U.S. history to establish the White House Faith Office, which is a good thing. But then he appointed heretic Paula White to oversee it. So see where Donald Trump's getting his spiritual advice from? See the spiritual battle that's going on? Because at the same time, there's praise and worship going on outside the Oval Office. And there's a lot of born-again Christians in the Trump administration. And President Trump's first cabinet meeting opened with a prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Last month, Christian leaders from all over the United States went to the Oval Office and laid hands on President Trump and prayed over him. Do you see the spiritual battle that's going on? Senator Ted Cruz, who supports President Trump in every way, said this, "Angels and demons are battling it out in the Trump administration." You see the spiritual battle? And I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I do not put my faith and my hope in politics or politicians. My faith and hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because what this country needs more than anything else is a revival. We need another great awakening. We more than anything else, we need Jesus Christ lifted up and glorified. And I believe with all my heart, President Donald Trump is a friend to that, because even though he is not perfect, he's the most pro-Christian, pro-Bible, pro-life, pro-Israel president in the history of this nation, the greatest president in my lifetime. America has never had a president that God has used to do for this country and to bless this country more than Donald Trump. But listen, that blessing does not come without a fight. So right now, more than any other time before, we've got to have our eyes open and see that spiritual battle so we can get in the game. Week after the inauguration, President Trump said this, "The darkness is over and there is a light shining that wasn't shining before." He's talking about the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you see that spiritual battle? Or are you still blind to it? Do you see that spiritual battle that's going on right now from the small window of opportunity that God in His mercy and His grace in these last days has given us, as Jesus doesn't come first? And are you praying like you've never prayed before that God will use that spiritual window, that little tiny window, to bring millions and millions of people to Christ before it's all over with and it's too late for sure? And how do we know Donald Trump is a part of that? Donald Trump's first term as president, he was president number 45. Now this is second term, it's like 45.2 or 45 squared. 45 squared is 2025, the year that he started his second term, the year that we're in right now. 25 in the Bible is a symbol of new beginnings, of grace upon grace, like for America and for the church. But people, listen to me, we will never have that. We will never have that if we don't let Jesus heal us and open our eyes so we can see that spiritual battle and fight it like nobody's business. The second thing Jesus needs to open our eyes to is our own healing. We go on this text, we see a third thing. A third thing Jesus needs to open our eyes to so we can be healed. Not only our own blindness, not only our own healing, but third, our own salvation. This is exactly what we see here in verses 13 to 41. Because Jesus didn't just want to heal this man, he wanted to save him. Jesus didn't just want to heal him physically, he wanted to heal him spiritually. Not just to open his eyes, but to open the eyes of his heart. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. So verses 35 to 38, after this man gets healed, Jesus goes and finds him. And he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the man says, "Lord, I believe." And then the Greek tells us the man got down on his face in front of Jesus and he worshiped him. And folks, that is exactly what every single one of us needs to do too. Amen. Every single one of us. Because we are all born spiritually blind as Mr. Magoo. So we cannot see the light of the glory, the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We are all born with a spiritual birth defect. We're born spiritually blind with a sinful nature that separates us from God. Don't believe me? Look at the little boy there, a newborn baby, who's royally ticked off in that picture. You don't think we're all born with a sinful nature? So the way that we're born the first time, born physically, is not good enough because we're born in sin separated from God. So you've got to be born a second time. You've got to be born spiritually. You've got to be born again to have that sin taken away. By confessing your sin to God and putting your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on that cross to take your sins away and asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. Amen. Just like that blind man, we've got to see, we have to see, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen. Your eyes been opened up to the light of that salvation? Because listen to me this morning, I can give you the light, but I can't give you the eyes. You seen the light of that salvation? And word of warning, you let Jesus Christ touch you and heal you and open your eyes, a lot of people aren't going to be happy about it. Because not everybody believes that Jesus saves. The Pharisees here are having a cow. Because the day that Jesus healed this blind man was on a Sabbath. And it violated all the Pharisees' Sabbath day laws. Everything that Jesus and this man did, healing on the Sabbath was considered work. Kneading the little mud pies that Jesus put on the man's eyes, that was considered work. Jesus asking this man to walk a quarter of a mile from the temple to the pool of Siloam, that was considered work. And again, the Pharisees' Sabbath laws was not what the law of God said, it was just what the Pharisees said the law of God said. The Pharisees hated Jesus so much, verses 13 to 18, they were even denying that the guy he healed was even blind to begin with. Then verses 19 to 23, they dragged his parents into it. And his parents threw him under the bus. Because verse 22, the Pharisees had already kicking people out of the temple who claimed that Jesus was the Messiah. His parents weren't even happy that their son had gotten his sight back. He was seeing his mother and his father's face for the very first time and they stiffed him. Because their reputation and their church membership was more important than him. Talk to him, they said. Leave us out of it. Verse 32, the Pharisees did not believe that Jesus healed that man who was born blind because they said only the Messiah could heal somebody who was born blind. Duh! They didn't see the sign. They wouldn't see the sign. The people who reject Jesus Christ and still think they're tight with God, those are the ones who are really blind. Like that blind LGBTQ pastor right there debating with the street preacher.
Culture.
No, what was the culture of the time?
First off, in Romans it talks about our moral code. You believe in the moral code?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. You are so lost. So lost.
Get him.
Because what is the basic principle of the gospel?
To repent and turn to Jesus and know him.
The basic foundation of the gospel is love.
To be saved from sin and death.
Thank you.
Right?
You're loving your neighbor as yourself.
See how they changed the definition of what love is? So love now means celebrating absolutely anything that anybody wants to do any day of the week. No. And folks, the basic principle, the basic foundation of the gospel is not the love of God. The basic foundation of the gospel is the holiness of God that the sin of LGBTQ violates. Those heretic pastors are leading those people to hell. You say, well, Kevin, the church that I go to, I don't care what kind of church you go to. The Bible still says the same thing. Your eyes been opened to the truth and the light of that salvation? And I know all about that light of salvation because Jesus opened my eyes to it too. I grew up on a farm north of Watseka. My mom and dad went to Faith Lutheran Church in Watseka once or twice a month. But my mom made me and my two older brothers go to Sunday school every week and also made us go through Lutheran confirmation. And the old Lutheran church back then had an award for perfect attendance in Sunday school for you. They'd give you a little circular pin. And then every year you got perfect attendance in Sunday school, they would give you a little metal bar that you could hang from that pin on a chain. Well, when I was growing up, my Sunday school pin was so long, it scraped the top of my shoes when I walked. And I memorized the new Martin Luther's catechism so good, I could recite Martin Luther's catechism backwards in German while standing on my head and juggling oranges with my bare feet. And when I got confirmed, my pastor didn't ask me if I was saved. He didn't ask me if I knew Christ as my Savior. All he asked me, are you a happy person? Well, yeah, I'm 14 years old. I got a mini bike. I'm in love with Kathy Linhart. Everything was coming up, Kevin. And if I'd have died then, I'd have gone to hell. Because I did absolutely everything that that church told me to do. And I was still lost as dirt in a snowstorm. I knew about Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. Summer of my junior year, college, Illinois Wesleyan University, I worked really late hours at a grocery store. I'd get home like 2 o'clock in the morning and I started turning on Jimmy Swaggart Crusades, old Channel 38 out of Chicago. And July 21st, 1984, I don't care what Jimmy Swaggart may have been doing on the side, I know that night he preached the gospel. And the first time in my entire life I realized being baptized as a baby wasn't going to save me. Perfect attendance at Sunday school wasn't going to save me. All that stuff I memorized for confirmation was not going to save me. And Jesus gave me this vision, like this sensation. I was falling in this black bottomless pit, falling and falling. It scared the daylights out of me because the falling did not stop. And Jesus spoke to me and he said, Kevin, you're going to hell. And the only thing that can save you is me and the cross. And tonight, it's now or never. So in the upstairs of my parents' farmhouse, north of Watseka, Jesus opened my eyes. I got down on my knees and I prayed to receive Christ and I was born again. And 41 years, it's never worn away. And don't ask me to explain it because I'm just like the blind man in verse 25. All I know is once I was blind, now I can see. That's the light of salvation. Your eyes been opened to the light of salvation. Do you see? And do you see how short the time is in these last days for you to make that decision? Do you see all the spiritual deception that is out there right now that's trying to keep you from seeing it? Because people, the devil is running wild. Last March the 8th, the 50th anniversary show of Saturday Night Live with Lady Gaga, they did a comedy bit about making a human sacrifice to a demonic goddess named Lamashtu, this old ancient Mesopotamian devil who supposedly eats little children. For a comedy show? For Saturday Night Live? Who even knew about this demon Lamashtu? Who made that decision? Well, I know. Soccer game in Dusseldorf, Germany just last month. See what the fans, the hometown fans do in the stands with pieces of red and black plastic? They're making the shape of a pentagram. See the banner with all the Latin words at the bottom? And look what the pentagram turns into. It's the devil. The devil rushing out of the stands of people, just like the beast rising out of the sea of people and the sea of nations in Revelation chapter 13. And you know what those Latin words said on that banner? Lucifer, draw us to the light. Among the world of kingdoms, rise up from the abyss and take our souls. My God, people, what in the world does that have to do with the soccer game? That's just it. It doesn't have anything to do with soccer game at all. It's got everything to do with the spirit of Antichrist that is already in this world. People, we don't want to see the devil. We want to see Jesus more than anything else. We want to see Jesus. But the problem is, the devil knows that too. And now with artificial intelligence, he's given people all kinds of fake Jesuses that they can see. All kinds of AI-generated Jesuses. Buff and rip Jesus. Boxing Jesus. Hospital call Jesus. To put the wrong idea about Jesus in people's heads. And the devil's come out with even more deception. 2022, it was AI Jesus, a website that takes people's questions. And then the Jesus you see on the screen there answers them with his eyes and his lips moving, which is demonic because nobody knows what Jesus really looked like or sounded like. Then it was text with Jesus, an app that people can use to communicate with what AI claims is Jesus, and all kinds of other Bible characters too, including, get this, the devil. So you can use that app to communicate with the AI devil too. Then last fall, St. Peter's Catholic Church in Lucerne, Switzerland, started using an AI Jesus to hear confessions and to give spiritual advice in 100 different languages. Here's what it looked like.
In these challenging times, remember that in the face of adversity, love and faith are your steadfast guides. Just as I calm the stormy seas, so too can peace be found within your heart.
The Bible says the devil counterfeits everything that Jesus does. So if there's an AI Christ, there's an AI Antichrist. And don't tell me in these last days the Antichrist isn't going to use AI to deceive people into thinking that the AI Antichrist is really Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly what he's doing right there. People were seeing it right there, right in front of our very eyes. And that's exactly why Jesus warns us, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. In the last days, many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. Do we understand why in these last days we got to be more careful than ever before that we're getting the right Jesus? Folks, more than anything else, we want to see Jesus Christ. But the problem is, we can't see him right now. Because right now, Jesus Christ is in heaven at the right hand of God. And Revelation chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, his eyes are like blazing fire, and his head is white like wool, and his feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his face shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The surface temperature of the sun is 93 million degrees. Last April the 8th, when the solar eclipse was making a giant X across America, people had to use special glasses to keep from frying their eyeballs when they looked at the sun. And that was from 93 million miles away. So people, if Jesus Christ manifested in this room right now, if he came to this church right now and stood right there on that rug, I guarantee you, we would not high-five him, we would not give him a bro hug, we would not ask him how he's hanging, because his glory would literally turn us into charcoal briquettes. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, nobody with physical eyes can see his face and live. But the good news is, one day we get to heaven, we will see Jesus' face. And folks, I can't wait to see him. But you know what? There's other people in heaven that I want to see too. And one of them is him. Mark Mastrogiovanni. Trusted and loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart. That man would do cold turkey, door-to-door evangelism. Because he didn't want to see people lost and go to hell. You talk about fearless. You talk about guts. He did that for decades. That man would drive 60 miles one way to be in this church on a Sunday morning and usually sat right about there. And after the sermon was over, every single Sunday, he'd come up and talk to me. 3 months ago, he came forward and told me that he probably had prostate cancer. He wasn't going to have it treated because he was ready to go home. Sunday, March the 8th, he came here in such bad pain. He was crying when he got to the front of this church. Back pain from the prostate cancer. And I prayed for him right here. I anointed that man with oil right here. And I prayed that Jesus would be gracious to him and see him through. And that was the last time that I saw Mark Mastrogiovanni in this life, because 12 days later, March the 20th, he died and went to be with Jesus. And because of my stupid schedule, I didn't even get to go to his funeral. And people, I got to tell you, I miss my friend. When I get to heaven, I want to see Mark Mastrogiovanni. But you know what? When I get to heaven, there's somebody else that I want to see even more than that. More than anything else in the whole wide world, I want to see Jesus. I want to see this Savior that I believed in and trusted in and prayed to and preached about for 44 years. I want to see Jesus. I want to see what the blind man saw. And Christians, what is it going to be like? What is it going to be like when we get to heaven and see Jesus for the very first time? Right now, the internet is filled with all kinds of videos of little babies who get glasses and finally see, being able to see their parents clearly for the very first time. The best video you see there on the screen, little boy named Christian. And at first, notice he's fussy. He's crying because he's scared. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what's going on. But notice his reaction when all of a sudden he does get his eyes corrected and he sees his mother and father for the very first time.
He already hates it. Christian.
Christian.
Open your eyes, buddy. Hi. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Munchkin.
You like him?
Christians, what's it going to be like for us when we wake up on the other side of night and we're in heaven? Brand new spiritual bodies, and our eyes get corrected, and we get to see Jesus for the very first time.
He already hates it. Christian.
Christian.
Open your eyes, buddy. Hi. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Munchkin.
You like him?
So, Christian, don't be afraid. Don't be a baby. Don't be scared. Don't cry. For one day, we will see him face to face, and we will see him as he is. Everybody and his brother one day is going to see the face of Jesus Christ. Everybody. Now, those of us who are Christians listening to the sermon right now, we're going to see Jesus' face because we want to. Those of you who are not Christians listening to the sermon right now, you will see Jesus' face because you have to. We Christians will see him as our Savior. You non-Christians will see him as your judge. Because you rejected Jesus Christ, you would not trust him for salvation. And I need to tell you this morning. Unbelievers, that day that you see Jesus Christ face to face will be the last day you ever see his face, because you will go to hell and you will spend eternity separated from him. But I'm telling you today, that doesn't have to be. That can change today. It can change right now. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ still saves. Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. Jesus Christ still does miracles. Jesus Christ still does the greatest miracle of all. He can open the eyes of the blind. He can open your eyes today. There's somebody in this room right now, somebody listening to this sermon. Jesus Christ has come to this church today, and he's asking you exactly the same question he asked that blind man in John chapter 9. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? Do you believe that I died on the cross to pay the price for your sin and rose from the dead for your salvation? And there's somebody here. There's somebody in this room today who's saying, yeah, Kevin, I don't care what anybody says about me. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I do believe that. I do believe that I'm a sinner. I do believe that I need a Savior. And I believe that that Savior is Jesus Christ. If that's you, the very nanosecond this service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you give your life and your heart and your soul to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light. Jesus sends the light. Jesus opens our eyes so that we can receive the light. Jesus opened my eyes 41 years ago and I saw the light. Today, you let Jesus open your eyes so you can see it too.
You might want to stand and join us for this.
I want to live like David did. Oh, I wouldn't let my behavior be. Then that Jesus came like a sinner in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Yes, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. Praise the Lord, I saw.